So odds are it's been a while that Peter was in prison. Can we agree with that? All right. Verse 9. So Peter left the cell, following the angel. But all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street. And then the angel suddenly left him. Peter finally came to his senses. "It's really true," he said. "The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me." So, Peter gets put in prison. The church prays. Peter gets out. All in the course of 5 verses. You good? Church prays in verse 5, verse 10. Peter's out, right? Yep. Here's my favorite part of the story. This is one of those things where it's like, it doesn't necessarily prove that the Bible is true, but it's one of those things like, why would you put this in there for no other reason? Okay? Verse 12. When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. So the same people he was talking about up in verse 5, he goes to their house. He knocked at the door and the gate, and the servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she heard his voice, and instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everybody, "Peter's standing outside." Oh no, it gets better. Verse 15, "You're out of your mind," they said. When she insisted, they decided it must just be his angel. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. When they finally opened the door and saw him, they were amazed. Like, if the Bible's not true, why would you put that in there? Like, it doesn't make any sense. That's like this added sense of humor thing. Like, here they are praying for him. God let him out. God let him out. God, he shows up. Nah, nah, nah. Who is it? It's Peter. Yeah, right. No, really, it's Peter. Oh my God, it's you. Take off. Go tell everybody. So, it's almost like today. So, I meet with a couple of guys on during the week for Bible study. And there was an Amazon package being delivered today. So the guy comes up and he rings my doorbell and Kara stands at the door and she goes, "Daddy, doorbell." Thanks, Kara. "Ethan, Derek, come over." I said, "No, Kara, it's not them." Ethan, Derek. I'm in my head going, "Oh yeah, you're two." I'm just thinking, I'm like, go open the door. No, she's two. She can't open the door. But they're playing the same thing. Hey, we know it's Peter. We know he's there. But instead of opening the door, she just runs off. So, I want to take a look at the group that's gathered at Mary's house real quick. Okay, kind of summarizing where we've been. The group that was gathered at Mary's house, they knew who they were in the kingdom of God. Okay? They knew they were sons and daughters of the king. They knew they were adopted. They knew they were not slaves. They were not servants. They are 100% heirs to the throne. And they chose to act in it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be sitting there praying. Like, why would you sit there praying that earnestly if you don't believe this? They obviously believe that prayer was a little bit more than just asking God to do something. Because they kept on and kept on. Like, once they didn't get their answer on the spot, they kept on and kept on. They understood authority, and the authority that had been given to them, and they were bold enough to use it. Obviously, they got the idea that the authority of God was bigger than the authority of Rome. But they knew that that was the only way it was going to happen. Okay? Because they were slaves, essentially. So they knew the only way anything was going to happen for Peter is by the power of God himself. And they were bold enough to actually use that authority. And finally, they chose to actually unite with other believers in prayer to try and get this done and increase the effectiveness of their prayer. See, a lot of times we go and pray for something on our own, and when we don't get the answer, we choose to give up. Instead of going and grabbing another group of people and saying, hey, let's pray about this together. That's what our prayer nights are for. That's what the night of worship is for. That's what, you know, prayer time Sunday morning before service is for. That's what prayer time Thursday night's for. All that kind of stuff is for believers to unite together under a common prayer goal, praying for the same things in the same direction and the same authority to increase the effectiveness. Okay? For some reason, we've gotten away from this idea. We've adopted the idea that we pray God acts that quick just because He can. And when He doesn't, we give up. And I think the biggest reason we've done this is because we don't want to have to work at our prayers. We just want to be able to say, God, heal grandma. And we're done. At that point, we get to go, you know what? God's sovereign. He'll do it if He wants to or if He doesn't. I don't need to pray anymore. He heard it. It's over. But I don't find that example anywhere in the Bible. Everything that I seem to find is like the story of Elijah. Prayed 8 times. The story of this church. They prayed earnestly. Again, Peter gets arrested. They start praying. At some point in there, he goes to sleep. Extended period of time here. It wasn't just God let Peter out, done. Okay? These people obviously didn't gather and say the Lord's Prayer, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done. Earth as it is in heaven. Amen. See y'all later. Like, that wasn't the end of this deal. It was a constant, over and over, earnest thing. The same type of prayer that Jesus used in the garden where He sweat blood. They wanted this to happen and wanted it to happen badly. And they were praying in that direction. They didn't just expect God to turn around and go, oh, Mary's praying. Thank you, done. Have a nice day. Just because God can zap it and make it happen doesn't mean He's going to without our help, without our prayer, without our request, without our constant petition. They call the type of prayer that they're using here in the story the prayer of intercession. They're praying for somebody else. And a lot of times prayer of intercession takes time. How many people remember the story of the centurion that Jesus healed his daughter? It's like 2. So the centurion comes to Jesus and tells him, Jesus, we've been praying. But I know if you just say it, it'll happen. So he's continuing to do this even though he'd been praying. He was still seeking a better route, a more consistent route, a more powerful route to get it accomplished. I want you to think about for a second. What if when you sit down to pray, if that moment when you think you're done is actually just the beginning of your real prayer time? See, what does our normal prayer time look like? Somebody tell me. What's it look like? Thank you, God, for this day. Help me go to sleep. Amen. Okay? Maybe if we get a little deeper than that, hey, God, my dad needs a job, and my mom's a jerk, and I have a test tomorrow, and my little sister needs to drink bleach. Yeah. But, like, that's the end of this process. Maybe we go a little further. Oh, God, by the way, I could really use a Ferrari or something. But at the end, did you say you want to date Taylor Fox? Oh, okay. I'm going to walk back over here for a minute where she can't look at me. No, Anyways, so, but a lot of times that's when we just start to get to that point, because have you ever had that deal where you're like, God, I'd really like to have a Ferrari, and you just kind of know in the back of your head, it's like, I should not be praying for this. That's where we start to get to that point where we're actually aligning ourselves with what God wants. What God wants us to pray. And once we get done with the I wants, we're finally at a place where God can give us what He wants. We're done with what we have to say in prayer. So it's time for the Spirit to pray through us. And it's time for God to talk to us. So we treat God like it's this one-sided conversation. God, I want. Thanks, peace. And we're done. Like, if you do that to your friends, are you going to have friends very long? No. It's got to be a conversation that happens. But for some reason, we don't want to have a conversation with God. We never want to listen. We just want, I prayed, I'm good. God, you can answer whenever you feel. And He's like, I wanted to answer you right there. You just didn't sit still long enough to find out. So you know what? I think I'm just going to wait till you come back to that place. So you show up the next time. God, please. All right. Answer whenever you want. And He leaves again. No, I was going to answer you right there. But you were too busy walking off. You were too busy going to take care of what you wanted to do instead of taking care of what I wanted you to do. And I was just hanging out with me for a little bit. So the best prayers that we could ever pray start off in our world and in His world. There's got to be a point where we move from I want things of this world to, what's it say in the Lord's Prayer? His kingdom come. Not our will, but Your will be done. Your kingdom come. We've got to move past us, past what we want. What's God's will on earth? Anybody? All right, fine. 2 Peter 3:9. We'll clarify it since you don't know. Second Peter 3:9. Anybody got a page number yet? 7:42. All right, somebody read it. 2 Peter 3:9. So what is God's will on earth? Wants everybody to repent. Pretty simple. Probably not talkative at all tonight. No, everybody. I have friends that say that's the best youth messages because then you're all being quiet instead of being disruptive. So I should be happy. No. 2 Peter 3:9. So, God wants everybody to come to repentance. Is this something He can do on His own? I got a no. Anybody got a yes? We got a no? You said no? Okay, we got two no's. All right, here we go. If you think the answer is no, raise your hand. God wants everybody to come to repentance. Is this something He can do on His own? Raise your hand if the answer is no. Just raise your hand. It's good. I'm not going to make fun of you or laugh at you or throw anything at you. Just raise your hand. Okay, raise your hand if you think the answer is yes. All right, here we go. It's interesting. Everybody's so like, I don't know. Who is God? Jesus, okay. Holy Spirit, who is he? Okay, creator of what? Everything. Who is bigger than him?
Nobody.
Nobody. Who's more powerful than him?
Nobody.
What can God not do? Okay, bad stuff and evil. Not really. There's nothing God can't do. So, God wants everybody to come to repentance. Let's try this again. Can God do this on his own? Are we sure? We're sure this time.
He gave us free will.
Okay. So, God could do it on his own. He could very easily, like, come down right in blood in the sky or something. By the way, I'm God. You should all repent or you're going to hell.
No, he gave us free will.
But what does he do instead?
He
chooses to get us to help him. He chooses us to allow us to be a part of this process. Instead of him doing it on its own, he wants us to be able to enjoy the glory and the honor that goes along with this. So what does this mean? They did a study. In 2005, the average person comes in contact with the same number of people in a day as somebody did their entire life in 1900. Why in the world would I tell you that? Okay. According to a study at Duke University, between 1985 and 2014, the number of people who said they had no one to discuss important matters with tripled to 45%. People that have nobody to discuss important stuff with, nobody to talk to, nobody close to, tripled from 15 to 45%. But we come in contact with more people than we've ever come in contact with in the history of the world. But we have nobody to talk to. Okay. That's a good point. Me neither. One of the biggest responses, the biggest answers to this sense of disconnectedness has been social media. That's how we get this. Now we can talk to people. Now we can have relationships with people. In a recent study, they surveyed 2,000 undergraduate students. Every one of them said they spend at least 8 hours a day on social media. 8 hours a day on social media. This is the answer to our problem of disconnectedness. 8 hours a day on social media. 3 out of 7 felt lonelier than they ever had in their entire life. We're more connected than we've ever been, and we're lonelier than we've ever been. It is less than that, but it's up from 1 in 7. Tripled. Everything is tripling in less than 10 years. We're more connected, we're more lonely. We meet more people, but we're more disconnected. Why does this matter? Because it happens in the church too. We show up to church when we want to show up. We come to the events that we want to come to. If it doesn't make us happy, then we leave. If it's not what we want to do, we choose not to or complain about it. If it's not the way we want it, then we choose to not come or complain about it. What's the Bible tell us the purpose of the church is? There's two purposes of church. What are they? We talked about them in the beginning of the year. What? Fellowship. Okay. What else? Do what? Accountability. Well, I'll lump that into the fellowship category for now. What else? Fellowship and spread the gospel. Fellowship being building up of the body, spreading the gospel. So which of those two falls under, you know what? I don't want to go to this event, so I'm not going. Where does that fall under either of these? It falls under fellowship?
Yeah.
You're not showing up as part of fellowship?
Yes, because you're not helping build a body.
So not fall under any of them. But it's killing that part. It's killing the fellowship part. Maybe you're supposed to go to that event to help somebody else, not just for your own personal benefit. What was the number one search term on Google last year? No. Say it again, Bryce. Does God exist? Number one search term on Google in 2016, across the world. Spiritual interest is higher than it's ever been, and church attendance is at its lowest. Do the two compute? It's because people don't talk to each other. Why do they not talk to each other?
Social media.
But isn't that talking to each other?
Not
about Jesus. No. We're not talking to each other about anything. These two can sit next to each other and never say a word, but have 45 conversations with other people.
Yeah.
How much sense does this make? This is the world that we live in. We can sit next to somebody every day in a classroom at school and barely even know their name, let alone anything else about them, because we're hanging out with everybody on the internet. Number one cause of divorce in America right now?
Cheating.
Nope. 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 Money. Number two? Not communication.
Cheating.
What's number two? Cheating. Okay? Number one reason that people, or that caused the cheating? Facebook. I'm really not playing. No. Your age demographic is not married yet, most of them. So it'd be like mine, and we still live there. Yeah, they get on Facebook and it shows up with a suggested friend. And a lot of times it winds up being that old fling. And so you're like, oh, hey, how you doing? Next thing you know, you find out that you and your wife spend more time on your phones than you do talking to each other. And she meets all your needs.
What's
ex-girlfriend, boyfriend, some of you old. Okay. So the church as a whole got together to pray for Peter to get out of jail. In the history of the world, we have the largest population here. We're the most disconnected, the most lonely. The most searched term on Google is, does God exist? Are we as the church doing anything at all for the people that are going to eternal jail?
No.
I know you said what you wanted me to say. That's the problem. Everybody says, oh yeah, no, Aaron, no problem. But when I turn around from there and I say, okay, cool, you know your friends are going to hell. And the truth of the matter is, you're good with it.
Yeah. You deserve it.
You know how I know you're good with it? Because you're not doing anything about it. So are we the church who is supposed to be different, who is supposed to do different, who is supposed to advance God's kingdom, or are we just a country club section of the world that pretends that we do no wrong? Well, no, but that's what we like to pretend, is that because we're the church, we don't do anything wrong. And so then we get to look down and go, you people are bad. When was the last time you, like, looked at one of your lists on social media and, like, decided to pray through the whole list? For some of y'all, that would take, like, a month. Because you got, like, 3,000 followers. Of those 3,000, you know six of them, but you got 3,000 followers. Here's a cookie. Like, if I ask you, hey, who's your best friend? Oh, so-and-so. Oh, yeah, when was the last time you talked to him? Last night on Snapchat. Oh, yeah, when was the last time you saw him? A year and a half ago.
Wow.
What? Like, this is how we operate. Like, we wonder why this world keeps getting worse. It's because the church chooses to sit on its butt and do nothing. Yes.
So, if you say social media is so bad, then why do you have an Instagram?
Why do we have an Instagram? Because y'all are on there. And you still turn around. Hey, Aaron, when's the worship night? I posted this an hour ago, and you're already asking me questions.
I have your
phone notification. Anyways, my point is this. The church got down and they prayed earnestly for Peter to be released from jail. Are we ever going to pray earnestly that those people around us are going to be rescued from hell? Nobody answers. It's like, I think Ivy gave us the only honest answer when she said probably not.
I said no.
Here's the deal. No, you went backwards. Follow the arrows, Sarah. Hey, let me just do that. Too much work. Sorry. So here's the deal. This is a process. Oh, yeah. They need some. This is a process. It starts at the top. Okay? Pray. There's three lines there. That's not limiting you to three. Pick three people you know that don't know Christ. Okay. Wasn't expecting them to write each other's names down, but whatever. So, anyways, the whole deal is you're picking three people that don't know Christ. That are in your life. You don't have to write them down tonight. It's something you think of or whatever. But the idea would be to walk around this circle. You pray for them. At which point you begin to pursue a relationship and a conversation that can move from, hey, how was your day and how are the Cowboys doing, to things about Jesus. Which then moves itself into persuade, which Maybe that's persuading them to accept Christ. Maybe that's persuading them just to come to church because you're not comfortable sharing the gospel yet. Well, then what happens? You do it again, okay? But why does it tell you to go back to the top? You got to keep praying for that person you just witnessed to. But what should they start doing? Praying for three people. Now, again, we're the most connected generation in the history of the world, so your list should probably be more than three. Probably will. Okay? But if we do not legitimately begin to pray for those that we want to have gospel conversations with, then it's going to be substantially harder. Why would God set up an opportunity that we're not asking for? Do y'all have papers, extras? No? Oh, so I had enough. This is going to be something that we're going to be real deal pursuing over the coming weeks. Okay, like I said, the mission of the church is two things. What are they? Fellowship. Spreading the gospel. What are we doing on Wednesday nights? What are we doing on Tuesday nights? Oh, we've been fellowshipping. You know, the Sonic and stuff like that. Friday nights, we've been bowling and some of that, so we've been fellowshipping. So we're doing a pretty good job of the first part. It's time for us to do part two. It's time for us to work on part two. But just like the church praying for Peter to get out of jail, we've got to begin this with prayer. We've got to begin to pray that God gives us specific times and conversations to have these conversations. And they'll come up. The question then becomes, are you going to be ready to have that conversation? And we're going to work on that as we go. Okay? Good. Sarah, press out. You can pray. I'm not giving you a microphone. That'll be good. You can sing in front of people you can't pray. All right. Somebody volunteer to pray us out of here, and we'll go. Wow, we have a long way to go. We've been six weeks in prayer, and I got no volunteers. Go for it, David. Amen. All right. Again, if you want anything to do with youth council, let me know. If not, I'll see you Saturday night.
I like power. I want to do it.
That might be the first reason you get disqualified, Sarah.